It's Sunday night. Good evening. This is John McMullen, John Mack to some. Welcome you to 182nd episode of Weekly John Mack Radio Show. The links to recordings of the previous 181 shows may be found at www.johnmack13.com under the radio show tab. And John Mack is J-O-H-N-M-A-C. So that's www.johnmack13.com. As I've said for almost the last 6 months, my last piece for the Westchester Guardian, the 212th, is still available after more than the 6 months at website www.westchesterguardian.com. It was hopefully left up there to be read by every liberal American before it goes down, and I, of course, hope that they do. It's the last of the Creative Disruption series in the paper, as after the September 29th issue of Westchester Guardian, it joined the ranks of the New York Herald Tribune, Washington Star, New York Journal American, and Brooklyn Eagle in the graveyard of newspapers. That issue also contains columns by ex-congressperson and vice chair of the 9/11 Commission, Lee Hamilton, and critic John Simon. In addition to the previous radio show, you'll also find links to my online daily newspaper at my web home. The newspaper is a curation of news articles from around the country and the world, articles relating to politics, sports, plus entertainment, books, the environment, and technology. Try it and subscribe to, once again, only one email per day, www.johnmack13.com, and it's free. I hope you'll join us not only tonight, but next week, when my guest is writer of one of the best early internet books, The Matrix, proprietor of Oak Grove Paradise Farms, and Sewanee Riverkeeper at WWALS Fortitude Coalition, John S. Quarterman. But every week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday evenings live, or as most do, the listeners till later. Now, to this week's show, the 182nd, as I mentioned, callers may call in at any time during the show by dialing 646-716-9756, and that's 646-716-9756. I usually hold callers until near the end of my interview with my guest. My guest tonight is novelist and Arkansas-based video producer and owner of Forbidden Tears production, Jennifer Dawn Anderson, a.k.a. Jennifer Dawn. Jennifer has much more in her portfolio than what I just mentioned, including classical violin playing at the age of 8, and we'll discuss all aspects of her interesting life on tonight's John Mack Radio Show. Good evening, Jennifer, and welcome to the show.
Good evening, and it is amazing to be here. Thank you.
First, why the nom de plume?
Pardon?
Why the alias?
Why the alias? Oh, yes. Well, Hollywood said get an image. So I got an image, and I didn't want to use my pen name, so we went with Jennifer Dawn.
Okay. Although I gave a brief overview to life in the lead in this, as much to discuss as we flesh out the detail. So let's start at the beginning. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Ashland, Oregon.
Were you interested in writing as a young child?
I didn't actually start writing until around seventh grade. I started in music.
And so obviously music was your first love. Where'd you go to early school?
I went to Hellman Elementary School, and that was in Ashland, Oregon, and around the Shakespearean Theater, of course, and I started playing the violin. So I toted the little violin most of my life, clear up and through high school, pretty much.
So I know you were playing classical violin as and you were from the age of seven, and you were the soloist in it. Are you also sang in the choir and you wrote music and lyrics? When did the writing begin?
The writing began pretty much right away, because as I learned to play violin, I also was learning piano. So I learned to read notes and read music. And so as I read the music, of course, I could write the music. And so then I could put lyrics to what I wrote. So
how
I started
long,
right away.
How long did you stay with the violin?
I've stayed with the violin all of my life. I got away from it for a few years in early adulthood, and then I've got another violin, and of course I've gotten back to playing it.
And do you also play with any big groups, or do you still play the piano, or have you followed?
I do, but I do it mostly for my films now, sound effects, things like that. And I teach occasionally, but I have not played with classical or with the orchestras or anything professional for quite a few years.
Do you also wrote poetry at a young age? Was that an offshoot of the songwriting?
Yes, I think so, because writing lyrics and poetry just kind of came natural. So I started writing prose and then poetic works, and just kind of all became kind of my first love.
And
so my first publishing was in the Library of Congress into two books, and that was poetry.
Was that while you were in high school, or was it earlier?
No, that was actually later, but I started just writing in school and things like that and writing for myself. I never really published at a young age until adult life.
Then where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school at Canby Union High School in Canby, Oregon.
While in high school, you also had quite an athletic career. Tell us about that.
Well, it wasn't just high school, because I started in junior high. And, of course, now it all started in Ashland, Oregon. Everything started in Ashland, Oregon, which Ashland is the epitome of entrepreneur and creativity. And I guess that's where I became the Picasso to everyone's Norman Rockwell, which is what I've always been, because they had twin plunges, two Olympic-sized swimming pools that were fed by the hot springs that ran from the mountains, you know. And so I started swimming, and then later I went into the junior high swim team and then the City League swim team and then Junior Olympics and did quite well. And so swimming was my main thing. And, of course, the arts and acting. I did some acting with the Shakespearean Theater, as well as the orchestra, and then singing in the choir.
Where do they hold the Junior Olympics when you went?
David Douglas High School, which was outside of Salem, Oregon, and Portland, Oregon, and all along the West Coast, because I grew up on the West Coast. Not many know that, but that's my stomping grounds.
You also did a lot for the school paper, the work that may have given you the impetus for your later artistic career. Please go into some detail about that.
Well, I enjoyed journalism. I discovered journalism with the school and going to school, and then college, of course, at Lane Community College in Eugene, Oregon. I wrote for The Torch, and that really opened my eyes up and led me into photography a little bit, too, for taking pictures with the sports and the athletics. And so I covered the athletics and the rugby teams and different things like that. So then later I bylined for the Shelby Star in Shelby, North Carolina, and became a byline reporter for the newspaper. Did that for quite some time.
Well, you also started working at a young age, first with your varied writing, sports, and musical instruments. Why not write into college?
Well, actually, you mean why didn't I go straight into college?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I started working at the age of 16 full-time. I was training at the age of 14 with the police department. They had a thing called the Junior Explorers. So I was doing that and swim team and going to school. And then at 16, they needed a dispatcher So I was already trained, so they hired me full-time. So I started dispatching police, fire, and ambulance. And then I started going on patrol with them, and then they started training me. So I went to academy and started learning all of that and just started working full-time while I was swimming. And then I graduated high school, and after that I was working and making good money. So I didn't go to college right away. But I did go to junior college, I think around the age of 20, graduated Lane Community College in 83, and then went to work writing. I got my first job writing for Red Book Magazine. And so I started writing for magazines and things like that, and then just never did my further college until later on in years. And then I went on later and got my master's.
You also began your, in addition to column writing, you also began your artistic career as a novelist. Tell us about that writing.
That actually didn't happen until later in Mississippi. I'd already gotten married, and I just decided I wanted to write a book. So I wrote, and I had already written one, I must clarify, when I lived in Boston. And it took me 8 weeks. I wrote the book called One Special Christmas. I wrote it in 8 weeks. And so when I was in Mississippi, I finished it up and sent it into Parnell Gilbert, Emerantia Parnell Gilbert, who I'm now partners with in business. And they published me. And it's One Special Christmas. But so, yeah, I just started writing. And then I went into Jennifer's Journeys to explain a little bit about my life. And I wrote that under my pen name, Caitlin Black.
Tell us about how you got to Boston and then how you got to Mississippi and whether any
I got to Boston. I met a guy. He was my first husband, and he worked for the Hilton Corporation. And he was working in Eugene, Oregon, and for the Hilton. And I also worked for the VIP concierge. So we got together, and he got offered a job as the executive chief engineer in Massachusetts. So we said, okay, let's go. So we went to Boston and had a great time. We got married in Boston, and it was a wonderful ride. It was amazing. And that we were there, I guess, about 4 years or so. And then we went to North Carolina after that because his father lived there, and his father was having some medical issues. So we had to go and kind of take care of him. So we went to Carolinas, which is where I was for like 20 years. And that's when I started writing for the Shelby Star. And then we separated shortly after that. But I went on with my life and worked in behavior modification counseling and therapy, things like that. And great career, traveled, got awards, everything else, public speaking. And then met another guy, and that was all she wrote there, and that was Paul Ricky Bounds, who is Raven Knight, and he is an author also. And so it's Raven Knight and Caitlin Black, and we got together, and he lived in Mississippi. So we dated by Amtrak, and Choo Choo Train by the Box Tops was our song. And then we just got together, and one day he just said, I'll go back less and less, and that was it. The Dark Side Duo of Writing was coined, and then we got into film, and the rest is history, and kind of started from there.
One of my favorite authors has his work based in Mississippi, Greg Ills.
Ah, awesome. Yes, Mississippi has a lot of great talent.
So then you had your novel writing, and then you put it on the side, and you went into filmmaking. What brought about that switch?
Well, my husband was injured. He was also a bounty hunter, and he took a 30-foot fall. And, of course, authors don't make a lot of money. And so I needed something to do, so a friend gave me a camera as a gift, and I started family photography. And then one day I just remember saying, I want to do a film called Don't Ever Tell. And so then it just kind of seemed natural. And so I just branched out. And first we did God Bless America Again, which was a documentary, in 2012, we took top 25 in the Columbia Gorge International Film Fest. And that kind of gave us the bug. And so push come to shove, you know, we visited Arkansas. We liked it. And we needed a change. So we moved here to Arkansas and started our film in our home base here and just started doing our films. And I actually think I'm a better producer than an author. So I just continued on in film and production and then expanded my company from there. But I do stay in the publishing world because I'm a publishing company now for other authors.
When did tell us about Don't Ever Tell. What kind of film is it and what's it about?
Don't Ever Tell was inspired in me because of so many kids who are abused. And so much violence going on in the world, and everybody, it seems like everybody is told, don't ever tell. And I wanted to say, at some point, you know, I'd like to find whoever said don't ever tell from the very beginning and just change that. And so at some point, somebody has to tell in order for things to be turned around. So I wanted to do the movie and inspire that and bring knowledge and awareness to people that it's okay to tell. It's okay to stand up and to bring yourself back and to get strength by knowing that it's okay to stand up for yourself. And so Don't Ever Tell came.
So how is it distributed and where can
Don't
people
ever
see
tell.
It?
Don't Ever Tell is on Amazon in physical DVD.
Okay.
And
okay.
We are working on getting it with my distributors now, and then it will stream on Amazon VOD and picked up by other outlets. It's a long process, actually. It's being uploaded now to distributors and aggregators who will then put it out to other outlets for VOD, which is
now,
digital download.
Now, in the notes that I had of Flowers in the Snow came first. Tell us about that.
Well, because Don't Ever Tell, I had old equipment, and I wasn't happy with the quality. So when we got new equipment, we refilmed Don't Ever Tell. We were going to refilm it. But it turned out to be so good, and with all new people and all new equipment, we named that film Flowers in the Snow and came on with a whole new twist and a whole new storyline and a whole new script. So it became the second film, which was going to be the first film, if that makes any sense, because we were just going to reshoot it. But then it became the second film, and we kept Don't Ever Tell. And so then, since I sent it to editors in Hollywood, which is Glover Zone DL Pictures, and shout out to Glover Zone because they're now my partners, and we have partnered. Amazing editors, and in colorization, audio, the whole bit. And so I sent it to them, and they did amazing work with Don't Ever Tell. So we've released it. And it comes across in a different twist and a whole artistic and creative way that's been hailed as genius just in the way that it's been done. And in a way that film doesn't do anymore, which I like to pride myself in being that kind of a producer and a director, is being different and bringing some of Hollywood back that they don't do anymore that they used to do in film. So then Flowers in the Snow came out as the second film, and it's also out on Amazon now and is also being uploaded to aggregators for VOD. But heavy metal is such a hot item that we put it out first, and it's around the world. So
now how are documentaries distributed now? You don't see them in the movie theaters the way that you're used to. Did they go directly to public television, or how are they distributed?
Actually, no, they haven't. None of my films have been on television at this time, and they're not documentaries, actually. They're feature films. They're crime, drama, family. I did not shoot them from the angle of a documentary. I shot them from a whole storyline and a script and the whole bit. So they're feature films and amazing talent from around the world. Don't Ever Tell and Flowers in the Snow both have 9 countries involved and different actors from around the world and different kids that came forward and different people that came forward. And we put all these scenes together and then we shot our own storyline. So in both films, there are different people and different talent. And
okay.
It's just amazing. It's awesome.
Okay. Now in this chronology, you had mentioned that you went back to school and you got both a bachelor's and the master's. When did that happen, and where'd you go?
That happened before I even got into film. I went back in graduated in 2003 from Gardner-Webb University in Boiling Springs and graduated my bachelor's. And then in 2010, before I started my company and my business, I decided I needed my master's. So I finalized my master's and finished that up in business administration and contract law. And that was to help facilitate my business before I launched Forbidden Tears Productions.
Now, where did you go to school
Boiling
for your master's?
Gardner-Webb University, top 25 universities, amazing university, awesome campus. And I just love the way that they teach and their professors, and it's just amazing, amazing,
and,
amazing
and,
university.
And the name of your company is Forbidden Tears?
Yes, Forbidden Tears Productions.
Okay.
And we are now an LLC, by the way, which I just received my LLC at the start of 2017 within, you know, just the last month and a half or so.
And the website is?
The website is Forbidden Tears Productions at Wix.com. And now I do have to give a shout out to Rakesh is actually, but I call him Rocky. And he's from India. He is my publicist. And this is an official announcement. Nobody knows yet, but Forbidden Tears Productions now has an official publicist for PR. And I want to give him a shout-out. He's amazing. He is creating a brand-new website, brand-new blog, everything, because we've gotten so big with so many different things. And then the company now that I've started in New Zealand. So we have a publicist, Rakesh, out of India, but he's an amazing genius with Audition Buzz. And Audition Buzz is growing very rapidly. So I'm very proud of him and his work. And I call him Rocky. So shout out, Rocky. So he'll have a new website coming up. But right now you go to Forbidden Tears Productions at Wix.com.
Okay. You also had another film, The Other Side of the Rainbow. Tell us about that film.
Yes. The Other Side of the Rainbow is an interesting story. And we also had Phil Palmer come out from New Zealand to be in this one, an amazing actor, also my producer and director in New Zealand, who is filming right now on another film, and my partner out there. But The Other Side of the Rainbow is a crime drama action based on human trafficking and vampires. So if you have a mix of vampires and human trafficking and nighttime and all of this stuff and cops and ambulance and sirens and lights, you have a great film. So it's a crime drama film and also with a message in it. And so I'm very excited. That's in post-production, so I don't want to give too much away on that.
You mentioned your partner in New Zealand. You've set up two businesses on the other side of the world in New Zealand. What was the attraction there? How'd you get involved there?
New Zealand is a hot spot. It's a hot spot for film, and plus you're close to Australia. They have a lot of things going on over there, and I really like working with them. They're amazing people over there. And so, yes, I partnered with Parnell Gilbert in Dunedin, New Zealand, and then Phil Palmer over there. I asked him to be my my producer and director and the head of Forbidden Tears Productions New Zealand Limited. So he handles everything over there in New Zealand, and he's amazing, proving himself to be the choice partner. New Zealand is an amazing hotspot and an awesome place to work, especially for film and authors. It's awesome.
Have you spent some time there?
No, I have not, but they come to me. And I do talk to them a lot, and we phone and everything else, and also my actors are out there now. They're having a great time. I just like working with them. I like the way that they do things. I like the way that they get things done. And I like the way that they can handle things the way that I do. They rock my style. I like that.
How did you first happen to get involved in New Zealand?
Because on The Other Side of the Rainbow, we shot The Other Side of the Rainbow, a scene from that, and Heavy Metal in one weekend. And Phil Palmer came out. And I knew I was going to approach him about partnering in New Zealand. So when he came out, we discussed it, and we partnered up, and he went back, and we did all the paperwork, and we became an official shareholding company over there, and we've just been rocking and rolling since. We've got a lot on our plate. I've done 6 films this year. This is our first film in New Zealand, is Saving the GPS Lady, his first time to rock for FTPNZ, and I'm very proud I made a great choice.
So what about, you mentioned having heavy metal a couple of times. What about heavy metal? Tell us about that.
Now, heavy metal is a short story from the award-winning author Betty Dravis and Barbara Watkins. They co-authored two books, Six Pack of Blood and Six Pack of Fear, which my publishing company also just produced in print and digital format. We just released those. But I took those, took seven stories. They're short stories. I took seven short stories out of those books, and we're creating an anthology of seven films. Heavy Metal was the first. It's had two international premieres, one in the UK and then one in New Zealand, and then it had a premiere in California. And so it's been amazing. Now it is picked up by Pantaflix. It's picked up by Amazon DE. It's streaming in Germany, streaming on Amazon VOD, and you can get it out on the physical disc also on Amazon Prime. And it just got awarded in the Miami Epic Film Festival as a final selection, and I'll be attending that August 24th through 27th. So this little film of 17 minutes has gone viral. And over in New Zealand now, as we speak, they're filming the second film, Saving the GPS Lady. And then in June, I'll be filming the third one, which is called Passageway to Hell. So it's basically a seven-film anthology of horror stories, chock full of punch and everything else. It's amazing, and they all have distribution, so they'll be out individually and come out as a full DVD.
Now, where is this film festival that you'll be attending?
It is in Miami, sunny South Florida, and it will be at the Biscayne Boulevard, Aventura, Florida, 19501, actually, Biscayne Boulevard in Aventura, Florida, and that will be August 24th through the 27th, and it is the IndieWise, the first IndieWise convention, so
well,
very excited about this.
Good luck.
Well, thank you.
What about...
They are streaming Heavy Metal, the full film, so I'm very excited.
What about To the Top? What's To the Top?
To the Top is in post-productions, and this is a huge film. Everybody is waiting for this film, and that is because we have 43 countries, and all of Hollywood, pretty much all of Hollywood, A-listers from around the world also, who have donated themselves to this film or donated montages and their photo, and they're standing together united against violence and against bullying, all to help create a change for a better world. And this film is huge. So we are in post-production. We're getting the final parts of the timeline laid down. This has an amazing soundtrack, amazing everything. And this is bigger than Heal the World. And so we're taking our time. We're getting it just right. Then it goes to Hollywood for its final edits. Then it'll come back, hits distribution, and everybody is waiting for the film. They have been so patient. I have to tell everyone thank you.
And then what about In God We Trust?
In God We Trust never got released. I showed it to a film fest, and Top 25 was good. But my husband was injured, and since then he had passed away right after Flowers in the Snow. That was a very emotional film. And he had a heart attack right after the final edits. And In God We Trust was his baby, his first thing. He always wanted to redo it. It was done with a lot of the antique car shows and the people involved in Mississippi, Smith County, and the Okotoma Cruisers, the Mud Cruisers, you know, the Mud Diggers, and, you know, all of those car shows and great talent, great people. Musicians wrote original scores, as they do for all of our films. They came forward about America. Do you feel that God needs to bless America again? And we went throughout the world and we asked them about that. We got some great, great responses. And at that time, it was during Obama. It was during a lot of the country and a lot of people thinking that it was a Hitler-type territory at that time and a regime and everything else. And we got so many different responses. And a lot of the nation, we found out, was very scared at that time. Well, we submitted it simply for festivals, and I just have never taken it anywhere else. It's sitting on the shelf.
You mentioned your that you have also a publishing outfit for writers. Tell us about that.
Forbidden Tears Publishing Company, and we also, Forbidden Tears Productions, invented something that has never been done before, and it's called DVD audio. So we partnered with Parnell Gilbert for DVD audio. Now, DVD audio means not just a regular audio book. Do you remember when you were in school and the teacher would read you stories, and then she would do what?
She'd ask you a question about them.
And show you the pictures.
Right.
So as you get an audio book, and as you're reading this, if you choose to, you can look at the pictures while you listen to the story being narrated. And so we put out DVD audios. We also put out print books, and we put out digital and Kindle and all of that for authors. We also get authors sent to us for taking their films, you know, their stories to film, which is where we got the Mansfield Killings, and which is where Daniel Donai came across to us, and FTP optioned the film Scarface. So I love working with a lot of authors and helping them to get their films out and to bring this new concept, DVD audios, into the world.
Now explain what would Benoitha do to contact you? What would be the target audience for the DVD? And would it be from an existing book, or would it be the brand new?
Well, we are awaiting authors who are awaiting, you know, actual print now with other publishing companies, and then they come to us and they say, we're publishing this author. Would you put out the DVD audio for our client? And I say, I would say yes. As soon as you get the book in print, or as soon as you're ready to release it so that I can get to work, then jet it to me, and we'll write up a contract for the author. So we work with all genres. I'm working on Ruthie Steele right now, Life is a Hard Blowing Wind, and she's an amazing country singer, songwriter, and sister to Max D. Barnes, and which, I don't know if you know, his last song was written for George Jones, who's going to fill their shoes. But Ruthie Steele is an awesome singer and written for amazing country artists. She's in the Old Timers Country Hall of Fame as well. So she wrote a book of poetry, so we're putting that out. And we have other ones too, Ian C. Glover, who wrote a prose kind of book, and we're putting that out. So we don't stick to one genre. I want to open the doors for all of those authors that these companies say, I'm sorry, there's not much call for poetry, there's not much call for your genre, there's not much call for that, and they keep getting a no. Well, they can come to Forbidden Tears Productions, and we'll say yes.
Okay, so the poetry, if the poetry did have some kind of a video idea behind it,
we have a graphics team. We create the graphics. We'll build the graphics, 3D graphics, motion graphics, our whole team. Forbidden Tears Productions has graphics, editing, has vocals. We're a complete recording because we work with musicians. I manage and I market, you know, their music CDs, and we put those out and we give them distribution. And so we handle music. We've got musicians, graphic artists, we've got editors. FTP is a full company. So we do our own graphics and everything for these DVD things. So they come in and we say, yes, we'll do this. We look at it. We get our graphics team together. They put the graphics together. We get the narrators like Michael Harrelson. He has an amazing Sam Elliott voice. Well, he's narrating Ian C. Glover's book, and he's also doing the Mansfield Killings. And I think that's an amazing voice. We've got Bethany Reynolds, who is narrating part of Ruthie Steele's, along with another lady, Deborah Kramer. So we have all of these things in place. They just come to us, and we handle everything. We put it together, and we put it out on the market. We take it to our graphics. They do the rap part. They do everything. From start to finish, FTP does it.
So with Ruby Steele's poetry book now, how many poems are in the book?
There's probably 25 or 30 or so. So it'll come out to be about an hour us DVD and digital. We'll take it to kids digital as well. So if those who don't want the DVD aspect can just do the audio, and then we'll add some of her music into it, and also some of Bethany Reynolds, who is also an amazing singer, who has sung with Ruthie Steele for years. And Ruthie Steele also was Nashville Nellie back in her day. I don't know if you know that. So if they have any kind of music or musicians, and we work with all of those, we can put music to them. We can do whatever we want with these DVD things and just put them out. And it's an amazing concept. There's a lot of freedom. They're a lot of fun to do, and graphics are amazing. Building them on the software is awesome. 3D designs, and it's just amazing what we can do.
Now, you mentioned in addition to your film producing, you've also directed. Which of these films have you directed?
I have directed every one of my films. I produce and I direct. I get behind the camera. I see the vision. I write the screenplays. I look through it, and I can see exactly what the vision is. I can look through the viewfinder and look in the camera. I can bring out in my actors what I want. It's a passion. It's an art. It's creativity. And all of my actors work so well for me. I love being on set. Shout out to every one of them, because they know what I want, and if they don't, they follow my guide. And I don't care if I take 20, 25 takes. We get what we need. And when they finally hear that last word, hot dog, very excited. They know they've nailed it, and they know that we've got our scene. And so I direct, I produce, I run the camera, and then I also have other crew and other camera operators, and I direct them as well, and I also rely on everybody. It's a team. FTP is a team.
Okay. Now, in these various places in the country that you've lived, they're very different politically, from liberal Oregon to liberal Massachusetts to more conservative North Carolina to very conservative Mississippi. You must have had a very interesting and broad base of political experience. How do you now come up on political issues?
I come up as an independent. I look at the odds. I look at the differences. I look at what's going on in our country. I look at the different viewpoints. And I have a great sense of acceptance. And then again, I can, have that great, closed-minded aspect too. But I'm an independent, and I am a Picasso. So I go to the beat of my own drummer.
You mentioned they were concerned with the people could interview during the Obama administration about the possible overreach of the federal government. How do you think that either they or that you stand now during the Trump administration?
Oh, gosh. I think that it's best as a producer that I stay out of politics personally, and I don't get involved as far as my business goes. And I think especially being in Hollywood now and being in the public eye, I know a lot of them had made statements. And, shout out to Kelly and everybody who wants to put out all their opinions. I think that's great. But I made a statement that I'm going to stick to, and that's when I put it on Facebook. I said I am not going to put my political views out there as a producer or a director or as a film person, because I work with too many actors and musicians, and I think it's a hotbed, and I just not going to lay in it.
Yeah. It's also, as I try to tell my students, that we have some extremely talented people are making political statements, whether they be, what's her name, the right, or we had Charlton Heston, or we have Barbara Streisand on the left, the political people, and they may not know what they're talking about, but they make wonderful speeches and they rouse people, and I think that people have to get down to the issues rather than listening to very talented advocates of the
I think that it's time that government goes to work, and I think that that's what it is. It's a job, and they need to get back to having it as a job. And I think that we need to get back to where our government is working for our country. And you know, all of us as public figures and this and that, we can say whatever we want. We can get into the social graces of it. But push come to shove, it's all about not being divided, but being together for our country. And that's what we need to do, make ourselves have a better country. Whoever's the candidate, we need to make ourselves come together and get our country strong and to come together to do that.
What's next? What's next for you?
What's next for me? Goodness sakes. Come June, we're filming Passageway to Hell. And, gosh, I've got the Mansfield killings coming up, working with Mario Prado. Shout out Mario in Hollywood and everybody involved in that. Shout out to all of the actors who want on board, Tom Sizemore, everybody, because we're in development. I'm hearing your voices, guys. I'm taking your names down. We're just not pushing it just yet. Be patient. Also, we option Scarface, Daniel Denai, who's worked with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was a stand-in in all of his films, and, you know, his double stunt double he's directing now. It's an awesome film. Danny, sit tight. We're going to get to you. You're on the list. And New Zealand, keep rocking, saving the GPS lady. And we've got a lot going on. So we got Jimmy Shandy coming out with a new CD. Max Ristaino's CD's out there. Check out Amazon, Forbidden Tears Productions. Look at all of our products. And hang in there. We're going someplace. Flip side of saying somewhere, we'll be there.
You have tremendous energy. We've covered a lot of ground tonight. What else would you like the audience to know about Jennifer Dorn?
Well, I would like the audience to know also, shout out to Japan. To Anlet Company Limited. We have signed an agreement with Anlet, who is huge, and I think it's going to be very beneficial for both companies. So, little PR out there for Anlet. And
what is Anlet? What is Anlet?
Anlet is a company that deals with various products, machinery products, and blowers and things like that. And they want to support FTP, and FTP in turn is going to help support them and represent them on a few things. And that's going to help both companies and also helps FTP kind of get into Japan a bit and put some funding within FTP, and I like that. So shout out. Amulet also is derived from the word amulet, and meaning to ward off evil. And FTP has always been about good and positive, and this is a great and a good and beneficial partnership. I'm looking forward to this agreement very much. Shout out to Betty Dravis, Barbara Watkins. Shout out to everybody out there that follows FTP and who's been there for my growth. And shout out to Julie Kendall out on Twitter, Jeffrey Gould. Gosh, so many names. Just shout out to everybody and everybody who's been there from the beginning. And hi, Mom and Dad and Eugene. And that's, I guess, about it.
But what else would you like the audience to know about you?
About me? Well, and the Picasso to everybody's Norman Rockwell. I run with my own style, and I dare to be different, and I'm proud of it. Stand up, you guys, be different, and don't let anybody tell you you can't. By all means, if they tell you you can't, make sure you try, and go for your dreams. They do come true, and that's what I want them to know about me, because dreams do come true, and I'm right there, and I'm proof of that.
You mentioned that you're into gardening as the way to letting your mind relax. What are your other hobbies, if any?
Well, I build. I have built pretty much the whole addition on the back of my house where my office is, and we, of course, build and tear down our sets for shoots and film. So I work with wood, and I like gardening, yes, and roses, and we're building privacy fences and whatnot. I'm a very private person, actually. My close-knit circle is very small, but I have very good outreach of support people and people that, you know, I consider acquaintances. So I stay very private, but I love gardening and I love, you know, building and doing things like that. And, of course, photography is one of my loves. So you can catch me on Guru and catch some of my work there.
No desire to get back into novel writing or to professional music?
No, not into professional music, no. I do play piano, and I do play the violin occasionally still. But to get back in professionally would take more time than what I have, and I'm just keeping that for fun right now. That was a day in a life, and I enjoyed it very much, and it was an experience that I'll never forget.
So what about writing?
I'm a better producer than I am an author. I've got 3 books out. I think that's enough for now. If I do write again, it might be later on in years, but I think film is where I'm at. I'm a producer and a director. That's my passion. Forbidden Tears Productions is growing, and that's where I need to be.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jennifer. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you, John, and you're amazing, and this was an awesome interview, and you really rack a person's brain.
A bit of commercial information. My books are available at Amazon, and I blog at medium.com and publish the daily newspaper as mentioned above. Send any comments or questions to me at johnmack13@gmail.com. And the words of Mets radio announcer Howie Rose, if the Mets win, put it in a book. Go to my website, www.johnmack13, for URLs and previous shows and the schedule of upcoming shows. I hope you'll join us next week for an interview with John Quarterman, and every week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday evenings. Okay, Henry Mancini, take us off.
Awesome. Have a good night, everybody.
Yes, and good night to you. So.
Yes.
Cue Henry Mancini, please. Thank you.
Yes, FTP and Johnny Mac are out of here.
Right. Good night, everybody.